It's a great honor to be with you today, and I want to thank the members of the Wabash Valley Presbytery for their wonderful welcome of my dear friend and sister, Reverend Dr. Gladys Wabaugh, who I'm most thankful for, and I wouldn't be here otherwise. But now that I know you a little bit more from this morning, I think I might come back. And I want to thank the members of Memorial Presbyterian Church for their faithfulness to hearing God's voice in a difficult time to hear God's voice. And I think you heard him correctly. I think you heard God when God said, "I'm sending Gladys to you." And you don't know yet all what that means. I know a little bit more about what that means. I served with Gladys for a few years in Garland, Texas. And Gladys and I had some great times in ministry together, and we learned a lot from each other. And Gladys is one of the most persistent, single-minded, focused, driven, loving people you will meet in your entire lifetime. And I don't feel that's an overstatement. In the church that we served, in the office, there was a refrigerator that held our lunches. Gladys's lunches were very different than my lunches, but I learned to love Gladys's lunch because she always felt I wasn't eating enough and would bring a little bit extra to make me try something. I was going to melt away, I think. And on the refrigerator were two things. One was a sticker, and the sticker said, "I love bacon." And it's because I love bacon. And somebody thought that that would be a good thing to put on the refrigerator to remind me. The second thing was a clipping from a cartoon from the newspaper. And it was a picture of a search committee at a church sitting around a table holding a bunch of resumes. And one member says, "Basically, we're looking for an innovative pastor with a fresh vision who will inspire our church to remain exactly the same." Well, let me tell you what's right about that statement. Reverend Gladys Wabaugh is an innovative pastor with a fresh vision who will inspire you. But I promise you, you will never be the same again. She will not allow this from you. And it's because that she understands what her job is as a pastor and here at Memorial Presbyterian. And it's right here in Paul's words to the Ephesians to equip the saints for the work in ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And when I think about the task of a pastor, and particularly when I think about the way I know Gladys does it, I think about a drill instructor in the Army. You know what? A drill instructor has one job, and that is to take regular men and women and make them soldiers so that they can complete a very challenging mission. And so here you have something of a drill instructor of a pastor, because a pastor's job is very hard, and it's because the work of ministry is going to require everything of you. And so a pastor's job is to take ordinary men and women and children so that they and equip them so that they can fulfill the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's her job. And it is hard work for everybody to do. So I'm going to focus just on two aspects of this passage, of this awesome responsibility that Paul relays to us. One is Gladys's part, to equip the saints, along with the other leaders in the church, I'll add. And secondly, for the work of ministry. And that's the congregation's purpose. You didn't hire Gladys to come and do the work of ministry. That's your job. She equips you in the work of ministry. And that's her job. So the pastor's purpose, to equip the saints, it says. Other meanings of the underlying Greek words are to perfect. So some translations say to perfect the saints. And I kind of think the Presbyterian translation was a little nervous about that. That's a little too hard, but to perfect or to complete is another. And the last is to mend. And part of the role that Gladys brings here is to throw around the occasional Greek or Hebrew word to remind you that she went to seminary. And so we just like to, as my dad's a retired preacher, he said, Paul, you got to throw a fastball over their heads every now and then just to remind them what you got. But she's going to bring some of that with you. But anyway, I don't even know what the Greek word is here. But so I'm just going to go through these three potential meanings of the word equip: perfect, complete, and mend. And I think all three are suitable for her purpose and your purpose. You know, to perfect. Not a popular word in Presbyterian theology. Perfection, that's for the Methodist. You know, they can work really hard if they want to, but we're saved by grace, folks. Perfect. But Gladys, you will never perfect these people. You will never perfect. It's better that you just accept that right now. You will not. They will not be perfect. And if you expect them to be perfect, you will make yourself miserable and them miserable, because it's just not going to happen on this side of heaven. And yet, it is what God means to do for you. He means to perfect you. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He is the perfecter of your heart. And he means to do this, and he's going to use you, Gladys, in part to do this. You're going to move them a little closer to perfection. Now, what is perfection, though, in a biblical sense? It's not doing everything right. It's not perfectionism. John writes, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Help them to love one another better. So, If you can do that. Now, you don't help people to love better by teaching them. It's not a seminar that I give you, you know, a bunch of mechanics of how to love. You teach them to love by loving them. That's how we learn to love. We say, well, God first loved us. Well, you know, my mom first loved me. My dad first loved me. Eventually, I learned where that love came from. But that's what perfection is in terms of maturity of Christ, is to love. And she is going to love you. And she is going to love you so much. She will be like a parent to you, like a sister to you. And she will love you in good times and bad. She won't be perfect, and neither will you. But she will love you. And you will love her. The second word is to complete. She's, I'll say it again, completion. Gladys, don't expect this church to complete you as a human being. That's too much for any to expect out of any human being. Human beings cannot complete one another. There's so much more that we need that any person or any group of people can do. Only God can complete us. And don't expect Gladys to complete you. She is not the silver bullet for all your problems. That's not true either. But I wonder if we are something of a piece of the puzzle, a puzzle piece in a grand puzzle of God's making. Gladys's presence will give you a piece of the puzzle for Memorial and also for you individually, a piece of your purpose, a piece of your identity, a piece of your story here on this earth is going to be given to you in this relationship between you and Gladys. We were created to need each other. Not that we can be everything to anybody, but we might be a very needed piece of the puzzle of why other people are here on this earth and who God created us to be. So Gladys is going to help you to understand yourselves better as a community and individually as well. And without self-understanding, we are doomed to simply repeat our mistakes and our history. And we can't do that. So we have to know ourselves and understand ourselves. Gladys will help. Now, part of my study as a minister has been in the terms of spiritual health. I've been the company that I in the ministry I've been doing has been about teaching about spiritual health and coaching about it. And so, what is spiritual health? Well, spiritual health has to do with your relationship with God, your self-understanding, and an empathetic engagement with the world. And that is part of what we do in church, is we are learning spiritual health. But this last part is so important to spiritual health, because we're not perfect. And we are incomplete, quite incomplete. The last meaning is to mend. To mend. The very word we know as salvation, sozo, means to be healed, to be made whole. It isn't to be saved from some future punishment, but to experience healing and wholeness, shalom, full life, abundant life here. That's what salvation is. Salvation is always about now. It will be about the future when you are in the future, but now. So I think we've settled so much. We've settled in this life. Perhaps you feel you've settled for, well, we'll get the reward in the end, in the great by and by. If we can just suffer through this COVID thing, if we can just suffer through this political thing, if we can just suffer through this world political thing, this geological weather crisis, and just hang on, then we'll get our reward. And the reward is great, but it is true, though, that we must suffer, yes. But however, there is healing. There is sozo. There is salvation and wholeness to be had today. And we cannot experience the love of God fully and share it with others like Jesus without some mending in our hearts. And pastors are here to be menders of broken hearts, in part. The field of neuroscience shows that having a broken heart actually is a broken brain. There is brokenness in your brain that stops your brain from working fully. It closes down your ability to have a relationship with people, no less an invisible God. But do you know what neuroscience tells us of how you heal a broken heart, a broken brain? Here's a quote from a neuroscientist, psychiatrist, Kurt Thompson. Healing requires a collaborative interaction, which one person emphatically listens and responds to the other so that the speaker has the experience, perhaps for the first time, of feeling felt by another person. Pastors' ears are actually better healers than their mouths. The more we listen, the more you listen, Gladys, the greater the healing, the mending will be. We should all remember that. We do a lot of damage with our mouths, but our ears can do a lot of healing. Mending requires deep listening. The pastor's purpose is to perfect, to complete, to mend. In other words, to love you, to give you a piece of your puzzle, and to listen to your heartbreak. And Gladys will never perfectly, completely mend any of you, but God will. Listen to the words of Isaiah read today. For as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed. He's describing Memorial Presbyterian, giving seed to the sower. See the picture up there, a sower. And bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and succeed in the thing in which I sent it. God will use Gladys, and he will not fail, because Gladys relies on that word of God coming from the mouth of God, Jesus Christ, and the scripture. So now, you're thinking maybe, wasn't there a second part of this sermon, and hasn't it already gone too long? Well, the second part was the work of ministry, which is the work of the congregation. And I hope you've been paying attention, because what Gladys will be equipping you to do is the very thing that she is doing for you. Well, I've already given your part. You, that's the thing about ministry. You can't do what hasn't been done in some way for you already. We cannot offer mercy to the world if we have not experienced the mercy of God. We can't love the world if we have not experienced love. We can't be a missing piece of anybody's puzzle if we haven't been found in ourselves. And we cannot mend a broken heart if we hadn't had a broken heart that's had some mending, because somebody listened to us. So Gladys is equipping you to do the very thing that she will do here. If Gladys does her part, and if you do your part, you can fully trust that God will do God's part in making Memorial Presbyterian the Church of Jesus Christ for this world and for this community. You have called an innovative pastor with a fresh vision who will inspire you and this church to never be the same again. And the reason is not actually because of you. It's not actually for you. Yeah, for you first, but because the world is crying out. I don't even know if you can hear it, but it's desperate. It doesn't even know how to pray it. It doesn't know how to say it. But there's a desperate plea going on in the houses around this church and in your neighborhood. And it's best expressed in a song that you may not have even known was a prayer, because it's been on the radio so many times. But listen to the words of the chorus of a prayer. And this is the world's prayer. And God has sent you to answer this prayer. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. You're the answer to that prayer. She's going to help you get there. Amen.